You know, with all the technology that is coming on board in our schools, I think parents sometimes can feel a bit lost in the process. And I know in the Royal Oak system that many of my grandchildren have been part of, there were some things that have been brought on board. And I often was wondering, you know, is there anybody going to help kind of translate this technology to the parents or be there to answer their questions when it gets to be a little too much or you're not quite sure what's going on? And the city of Troy has taken certain a march ahead in that, and we're delighted to have with us in our studios for Troy Tech Talks, Tricia Albury and Colleen Geyer. Thank you very much for joining us. And a busy time of year. Guys, you know what? We need somebody to press that.
It's done.
Okay,
it's done.
Oh, we got it. Okay.
We're good.
Now you can say hello again.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
We're delighted.
And this was not something that the Troy school system put together. You guys took the ball and ran with it, eh? So how did that what was the impetus to get started?
Yeah, it's a great question, Gary. Tricia and I have been friends for a while, and about three school years ago, our district decided to start implementing one-to-one iPads for our kids.
Mm.
And so we sat down and started having a conversation about what does this mean? What are they going to do with them? What's the security going to look like? Are our kids going to be safe? And it really started as a conversation between friends. And it quickly evolved from there into an idea of how to solve the problem. If we were wondering, probably many other parents,
to your point,
were wondering as well, right? And so from there, we took it to the superintendent, and he was really supportive of us starting some of these Troy Tech Talks. And maybe, Tricia, you can take it from there. And
tell us what this is.
Sure. Well, it's really a chance for parents in the district to get an understanding of what's being used in the schools. Our students are very well versed in technology, much more than we are as parents sometimes these days. And so it was really born out of the need for us to better understand what our children were using in the schools and how we could best help them utilize it. So it really kind of started from there.
So, Colleen, you and I have worked together before.
Yes.
And you're an HR expert.
One would say.
When we started to talk, you know, it was, okay, you're going to help us staff up a company called Gale, part of Cengage Learning.
Right.
It was in the learning segment, but we were building products, electronic products for K-12 and university and whatnot as part of Gale. You then went over and started helping Detroit Venture Partners with a whole lot of really cool startups. So you started to get really techie.
Maybe.
And
I try.
And I saw this week you were writing code.
I wrote code, Gary. How proud are you of me?
I am so proud. This is great for anybody listening out there because, you know, you didn't start out as a techie, and you are one now.
I wouldn't even say that, but, I just learned.
Cross the bridge.
Absolutely. And it's like Tricia said, it's about constant learning. Our kids are smarter than we are.
Yep.
And that's frightening sometimes. And when it comes to technology, and now in our school district, every third through eighth grader in our district has an iPad.
Yeah.
And so knowing what they're doing with them and how, you know, we as parents can try to stay one step ahead, as much technical exposure as I have had throughout my career, I still feel like I don't know enough.
Well, so you joined Pillar Technology just recently.
Very recently.
And which is wonderful. You know how much I like those guys.
Yes, right. It's a great organization.
And we both worked with them back at Gale. But Tricia, are you technical? How did you get involved and why did you think you were qualified? And do other parents have to be a code writer like Colleen now?
Absolutely not. In fact, that is why we started these tech talks, is because I don't consider myself technical at all. I actually also have a background in human resources.
Okay. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And really, because we felt so behind the ball sometimes, we needed a place to go to better understand it, ask questions, get experts in. We've always said that we are doing these programs for our community because we need it as much as they do.
Yeah.
So it very much grew out of that. And also having the language to be able to speak to our students as well. So that way they think at least we know more than we actually do.
So by parents, for parents, to keep up with the kids.
Absolutely.
You know, I find it really kind of surprising. I mean, you guys look like you're probably from Generation X or something about
that. That's very
time.
Kind.
Very young mothers.
Yeah.
We're
going to
post
you know,
we're going to post a photo of them on our site. You'll see that they Cal's pretty right.
You know, so I automatically would assume that most of the parents that would have kids in school now would have been exposed to technology long enough that it becomes commonplace, but evidently that's not true.
Correct. And I think what technology our children are using, I actually have a high schooler, which still blows my mind. But
your mind too.
They're constantly finding the new, the greatest, the next best thing as far as apps goes, as far as different technology. And so they're finding it. They've got the time. They've got the interest to pursue it and really understand it, where we're juggling a lot of things as parents. So we're needing to combine our resources, if you will, and share information, because there's just way too much out there for one parent to really understand.
So how do you get the parents to put, you know, the brakes on long enough to take 10 minutes to really learn what the technology is doing with the children that they have?
It's a great question. I think that we're fortunate. We have a great district of parents, a great involved community that there's a desire to learn. So first and foremost, I think the parents have to be self-involved and want to figure out what it is that the kids are doing, what types of technologies they're using and learning in school. I mean, the technology that my son is using in his eighth grade humanities class is mind-blowing. And I would have never thought that technology would be a part of a humanities class, but it is. And so I think there's a responsibility on the parents to take an interest in what's going on in the school and learn more about it, just like we sit down and help them with their math homework, just like we sit down and help them study for that science test. This is another part of learning now. It's different today than it was when we were going through school and what our kids did with us.
Well, you know, when kids, they're used to being confused. So when they see a new technology...
I thought it was the parents, you know, that are used to being confused.
No, so, you know, so they just work their way through it.
Correct.
Right? Really quickly, because they're used to doing that.
They figure it out.
Parents, we were confused. We're not so confused anymore. We don't want to be confused again. We don't want to have to learn this new stuff. How do you make it easy for the parents to, I mean, you got to talk parent to parent, right?
For sure.
This is in parentese.
Right. Yeah. A lot of the speakers that we have are great for that, because they understand the perspective of where the parents are coming from. So some of the topics that we've done over the years have been things like, you know, cyberbullying, social media.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a coder to figure that out.
You do not.
Right? You just have to be aware.
And a lot of it comes back to just working with your kids and actively parenting them on a day-to-day basis. But the speakers that we have and the topics that we get into are not super technical. It's just understanding what technology is out there, how kids are using it, and what we as parents can do to make sure that they learn safely and well. One of our speakers had a great analogy one time. He said, our kids turn 16 and we don't toss them the keys to the car with no learning, no training, no practice, no nothing, and tell them to go drive a brand new car.
Right.
We sit with them, we teach them, we train them, and we have to do that with technology too, to make sure that they're safe and that they know how to use it in a responsible way.
And we have to... Sometimes it's very, very scary to teach them how to drive.
I've seen you with a mouse in your hand, Gary.
It's sometimes scary to see what they can do with the computer, too, but you got to work through it, right?
Right. Everything is so accessible these days to our kids, and it's just really a matter of understanding what types of precautions you need to set up as a parent. Like Colleen said, parenting hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
Just what we need to be aware of in the new technology and the new avenues.
By the way, if you folks out there have a question about this, the Troy Tech Talks and the things that are going on here, maybe from your perspective with your school district, your concern as a parent or as a grandparent or a family member, you can call us and feel free to join the conversation at 1-800-859-0957. Again, that's 1-800-859-0957. The call's on us. We'd love to have you join the conversation as well. And we're talking with Tricia Albury and Colleen Geyer, who are the co-founders, concerned parents who got involved and have created Troy Tech Talks, designed to help the school system. We're going to talk about some neat things like STEM toys coming up, and you can find out exactly what that's all about. But please continue to join us here on the Internet Advisor. We're live on WJR. The number again, 1-800-859-0957. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson. And we've got a delightful couple of ladies in studio with us today, Tricia Albury and Colleen Geyer, who are the co-founders of Troy Tech Talks. If you'd like to join the conversation, by the way, maybe you're a parent and you'd like to start something like this in a school district, in your school district, or suggest it to somebody in, let's say, one of your relative school districts, give us a call at 1-800-859-0957. You can kind of call and find out how they made this happen in the Troy District and get some tips for that. We'll also allow them to give you a contact that you can get in touch with them after the show and follow up with that as well. Our number again, 1-800-859-0957. Ladies, one of the things that, if I boil this down correctly, this wasn't a school district initiative. This was a parent initiative that the school district looked at and said, you know, that's a good idea.
Sure, yes. We came to the district. The superintendent is very, very supportive. They've provided us a space to hold the Tech Talks. They provide us with technology to run the Tech Talks.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, who put the web page together? Was that you?
That's our director of technology in Excellent. The Troy School Systems, Chris Young, who's amazing, has really worked with us to make sure that we get the information out to our parents.
I love that because you don't have to be, Gary, or guys, all things to all people in that sense. You don't have to be a web designer. You don't have to be, because the school districts do have, most often, I think probably most of them, big or small, have that kind
Somebody
of technology
that can help.
Yeah, that can create right. a website so people, parents can get in touch.
A question I have for you to play off something that Gary had talked about before the break, and that is, do you interact with the parents in such a way to help the kids understand ramifications of things like bomb threats and how bad they could be if they do them over the internet and that sort of thing, how to handle things like inappropriate websites, pornography, and that sort of thing? How do you handle mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, it's a great question. Our district has security set up, so all of the iPads go through the district security, so when kids get on them, they are safe. But separate and apart from that, we bring in speakers that talk. When we first started this conversation, like Tricia said, we did it as a way to stay a step ahead of our kids, to learn a little bit more, to be able to keep them safe. And we quickly realized a lot of these topics of conversation were appropriate for our kids. So we started inviting parents to bring their kids to Tech Talks, too. So we've had the Oakland County prosecutor come out a handful of times. She's been fabulous. Jessica Cooper is great. We also have Jean McLeod from Oakland County Schools has been a regular for us. And the topics that they talk about are things like, what happens if you behave poorly on the internet? What happens if you post something that you shouldn't post, or if you respond to something? And it's a way not only for parents to understand our responsibility in it, because there is a portion of that is parent responsibility, but it also helps the kids understand that this is something that you really have to think twice about before you
Absolutely.
Do and what you're going to post out there.
Somebody, you know, it's interesting because while the iPads that they have go through the school system, that keeps
Correct.
Them safe, they all have other technology.
Absolutely.
And that is really where they could get into some serious trouble.
You know,
sure.
One of the things that I really am impressed with is that the content that you present is not just print. You put mm-hmm. it in what I think probably is the most consumable form, and that's a video.
Right.
We often talk about YouTube.
Yep.
You folks are using the Vimeo videos to present a lot of this. Like there were topics on things like sexting and some of the other things that are out there in terms of, you know, inappropriate behaviors, so monitoring and filtering software apps. Before You Google was the title of one of the things that's out there. And cyberbullying and sexting, I think I mentioned that. And that was the Oakland County prosecutor who was there. And you know something? I have to say this, my hat's off to them. They do take it seriously.
Absolutely.
I knew of somebody who was victimized, a child in Oakland County. And folks, if you have this happening in Oakland County, go to the police, mm-hmm. report it, because it will be dealt with seriously.
Yes.
Somebody posting a video of somebody inappropriately behaving inappropriately, they post it. Very often the kids don't even know that it's been posted.
Right.
That's illegal.
Absolutely. So, and the prosecutor came and spoke to the kids about that, and their eyes were wide open.
Oh, you mean I can get in trouble for that? Yeah, knucklehead.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, because a lot of times they don't think about consequence. No. They don't think about that.
The last thing.
Absolutely. Luckily, our Troy School District does a very good job educating them about digital citizenship. So we've been very pleased as parents about the education
that
they're utilizing as well.
You know, when my son was in junior high, he's now a freshman in college, but when he was in junior high, he was getting in trouble from me because of stuff that his friends would post on his site, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his Facebook site. And he would talk to his friends, and it wasn't terrible, but it was stuff that he was going to get in trouble for me about, right? He wasn't going to get in trouble by the authorities. I said, look, one more time, and this is going to be, you know, this is going to be a problem for you, Justin. And he took down his site. He said, I can't control my friends. I'm just not allowing them to post on my site. I'm not going to have a site anymore. And he took down.
For him.
He didn't have a Facebook site for a long time. He now has one again, right? Because now he has friends that are more respectful and will post on it properly. But it was amazing that kids figured that out, and it was much better not to have one than to be in trouble over it.
Ed and Cal, I'm just kind of interesting. Did you, you must have homeschooled the kids in some ways in terms of teaching them like a code of conduct or behavior on the when they go online?
Well, I took a cue from Gary, and basically don't do anything on your computer that you wouldn't do with your grandma in the same room. And I thought that was the simplest and best advice, I could have given.
If there's ever a question, think about your grandma looking over your shoulder, right?
Right. And I was, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that it's not easy to be a kid these days.
Right.
I'm very glad we didn't have the outreach we did when I was growing up because of the mistakes that can be made.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are bound to make mistakes.
There's a higher cost to the mistakes.
Exactly.
Now.
They're more long-term, it's more permanent, and the consequences are greater.
You're not just painting graffiti on the side of the barn.
Right, where just a few people see it. It can really explode and go viral.
And it's even more difficult nowadays, for example, like if you've got a daughter and she's using the internet, and let's say it's Breast Care Aware Week or for Breast Cancer Awareness Week, and she wants to do some research on it, well, that's going to be a difficult research because we all know you're going to get two different types of information.
Absolutely.
If you put breast in.
Right.
So, you know, being able to educate kids to understand that, and I'm sure that's what part of your initiative is really, really vital so that they can be able to manipulate themselves through the internet. Through those types of pitfalls.
Was that the subject before you Google? Because that looks like the kind of thing you need to teach about.
Actually, that was a really interesting one. That was run by our media specialists that were talking about the credibility. So in some ways it was talking about that, but the credibility of your research online. And don't just Google it. Find some credible resources.
Yeah.
But that's a very good point. I think that one of the things we talked about was filters that parents can put on their computer systems, and I'm sure you all in this program talk about that a lot, and ways to filter that information and keep our kids from seeing things they shouldn't.
It was so funny. Now, this is a while ago, because my daughter is now out of college for a while, but she came to me and she said, Dad, do you know that, and she was stuttering and stammering, and she said, Whitehouse.com, you should see about, and we're going, and now we have to sit down and explain. It's .gov is the one you want to go to, and anybody can get a website and any in domain if it's available, and they can put any material up that they want to put up, and it's up to us to figure it out. And she said, I'll never go to .com again. So I said, okay.
Tricia, what you're saying is there's a lot more at stake nowadays.
Absolutely, and you were talking about it before. There are people out there that do not have good intentions, and so it's our responsibility as parents to teach our kids that, just like going to the park and not talking to strangers there, we're needing to bring that into the home into the technology.
This began as a parent initiative, Colleen, that the school board recognized and then jumped on board with. I'm curious, have you had other parent groups come to you and say, how did you do that, and how can you help me get my school district to help?
It's a great question. I have had one or two people reach out via social media and ask a little bit of questions about it, but not a ton, to be honest.
Okay, so how do people get in touch with you to find out what did you do, how can you get them to take you seriously, and then pitch in to the degree that they have where they've helped you create a web presence, et cetera?
Sure. I believe you're posting the link to our Troy Tech Talks page on your website.
We will do it, right?
So you can reach out to Tricia and I there. Our emails are linked in that introductory paragraph that people will see there. But also even just really starting there is a great place. We have this... whole website that the district kind of gave us space for, right? And you mentioned you saw the videos out there. We're doing those. We didn't start videoing our tech talks.
Right.
We just started having them, and then we realized, gosh, it would be great to have this information
Absolutely.
Archived.
Yeah.
So we talked to the district about it, and again, in the spirit of helping us, you know, be better at what we're doing, they gave us access to more resources and, you know, the iPad and the, you know, tripod and everything to do that. And we engaged the help of a very capable 14-year-old, my oldest son, and he has been, shout out to Nolan, he has been our recorder for the last several of those, and he's really been, it's been great. And again, he knows the technology so well, right? So he comes in and he helps us out with that, and then we're able to record it. So if there are parents out there in other districts that are looking to start something like this, I would say start on that page and start looking at the information we have and the ones that we do
have. And if you want to call in, by the way, we'll have them here for a few more minutes. And you can call us at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. And we'll put you in touch with the ladies who are in studio with us, and you can ask your questions. But in the meantime, Troy, Tech Talks are on the online, and we will make sure that you can make a connection. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. If you've just joined us live here, we're wrapping up our conversation with Tricia Elbery and Colleen Geyer, who are parents and co-founders of Troy Tech Talks. They're parent movement, if you will, to deal with the concerns that parents have about how to handle all of the technology that's there. And the fact that our kids, I think you guys have said it, are kind of a step ahead of us, and cases of some of us, two or three steps ahead of us in terms of technology. But there's a very serious consequence of that sometimes they're walking right off the plank. And we, as loving parents and guardians, want to make sure that they can cope with that technology, use it properly, and make sure that they aren't hurt in the process. And they can be, especially in the tender age in grade school and in high school. And you want to make sure that they're learning good habits in that. By the way, the Internet Advisor, our program, is a two-hour podcast. You're only hearing the second hour of it right now. But if you go to internetadvisor.net, starting on Sunday night, late Monday, for sure, you will have a full website with all of the information that we're talking about here and links to plenty of things, both in this hour to the Troy Tech Talks and to some of the things we're going to talk about in just a moment. We mentioned, Gary, you brought up the subject before, and I'm dying to hear what the suggestions are that you folks have. STEM toys. First of all, what are you talking about with that, Gary?
Yeah, so what's STEM?
And they looked at each other and said,
all right, I can help, but
science, technology, engineering, and math.
That's right. There yes. And so we have, for it must be 18 of our 19 years here on the air, have been talking about, no, it's been all 19, because
yep.
that first year we had a young girl that came in, and we started talking about
5 years old at the
five
time.
5 years old at the time, yeah. And we started talking about...
He's talking about his daughter, Lauren, who came in, had her own website, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that she had a little audio on.
That's right.
But so we've been talking about how to help get girls into technology. You know, how do you do it? How do you keep kids? Because I think in elementary school, they're just as interested as the boys are, and even somewhat into junior high, but somehow they lose interest somewhere along the line. We want to get, you know, both boys and girls involved in STEM and technology,
yep.
because we just are not going to have enough workers. I mean, you guys in HR, you know it. You're dealing with it all the time. We don't have enough workers today. We're going to have even fewer coming up in another generation. What are we doing to get our kids interested and staying interested
and
in
having
technology?
Fun with it too? Really, seriously. Like the right. And when we talk yeah. about toys, it's not a facetious thing. That's where you learn by play.
For sure. And I think, you know, again, I'll take us back to the conversation I had earlier. You know, we're fortunate. We have great teachers in the Troy School District, and they interject that technology into the classroom. So they're learning how to code in a humanities class. They are, looking at...
I love that.
I mean, it's great. The teachers that we have are so creative and so inventive, and they look at ways to bring that in for the students to foster that creativity. But some of the, like the Sphero is one product that one of my kids has used in their classroom, and he absolutely loves it. And it's a way for kids to learn how to code in a very gamified way. It teaches them, but it's fun. They enjoy it. And it, I think it really kind of gets the mind going and wondering, gee, what else could I do with this, right?
So, you know, there are a great number of toys out there, some cool, I mean, not expensive, but cool little robots that kids can build and then tear them apart and build something else out of the same kind of parts. You guys have a favorite?
Well, I recently just got this for my nephew, who is three.
Okay. So let's start them young. That's good.
Absolutely. And I think that's the key, is that to our children or to that next generation, technology isn't its special thing anymore. It's just integrated into really their daily life. Mm-hmm. And I think see it a lot differently than we do, where it's just a part of what they've always known. But I recently got, it's the Fisher-Price Think and Learn Codapillar.
And it's, I love it.
It's a caterpillar that you take apart, and he's three, but it's coding. And so you can put it into different
arrangements,
different coordinations that then we'll tell it to go right, left, go in a circle, back up. And it's very user-friendly. But
for a three-year-old.
For a three-year-old, amazing. And he's learning how to code.
Amazing.
I'll be darned. What? I'm going to step back for a second. What is coding?
to our ace
coder.
Yeah, I think Gary's probably the most qualified person in the room to answer that question. But for me, when I did sit down and learn how to code this week, I think it's just a very different way of thinking. It's thinking in a different language. And so if you've ever taken a foreign language and you start to think in Spanish or you think in French, you think differently. And coding gets you to think differently. It's a way to just teach you a different way to express your thoughts.
And it's very creative because solve a problem. You have to do something. You have to lead somebody else through that process. So you have to design the product, now a software product, to help them do what they want to do.
Right. There's also an International Hour of Coding, wasn't it? That's been, I believe, you know, I'll have to look. I've been getting
emails.
There's
hackathons. There's all sorts of ways to get people involved. From young kids, not as young as three, although this is cool because now it is as young as three.
Right. But
even in junior high and high school, they go through some hackathons. I know that Colleen helped us when we were at Gale. We had some hackathons. Mm-hmm. People would say, oh, they're not going to come back on a Saturday morning. They worked all week. You're not paying them. Why would any of your employees show up? We had a full house. Right. We almost had to turn people away. We got extra chairs, right? People wanted to learn.
It's interesting. It's creative. It's problem solving. It's fun, right? And they get to start with nothing and make something. And at the end of it, they can see their fruits of their labor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Colleen and Tricia, it's the holiday period. And if you had a wish that Santa could bring to you for your organization to be able to be better at doing what you want to do, and we've got a lot of technology companies that listen and might even want to sponsor you on some efforts, what would you like to get?
Wow, that's a very thoughtful question. I don't know. Tricia, do you have any ideas?
Other than just more people out
there. Is it more volunteers?
Absolutely. I think
a 27-inch iMac? Yeah.
I think what I would wish for is that parents be involved, because we can only do so much in our own household, but our kids are going to be exposed outside of our
home to other kids
whose parents may not be as involved or may not have the time to understand the technology and the dangers that can come about. So I think, if I had to wish the pie in the sky, it would be that parents stay involved so their kids learn how to use the technology appropriately.
What about you, Kelly?
Actually, I have to say that's probably the best answer, because the only way that we can affect change in what we've been trying to do is to have more people hear the message. And so, you know, we've had great attendance at our tech talks, but we always say, gosh, we wish 10 more people would have come, or gosh, we wish 20 more people would have come.
There's only so many people in the school curriculum, the teachers, and they volunteer. Right. They give so much of themselves already.
For sure. Yes.
And what they need is, they're looking for passionate parents to become involved. We're not talking about the PTA, but we sort of are. Someone that can actually, that's what they need, is volunteerism to help. Okay, how can I help you?
Right.
You know, whether or not it's arts, whether or not it's science, technology, music, engineering and math, music. That's what the band, anything.
And we've had great parents say, gosh, I'm an expert in this. You know, have you thought about that? Or, you know, we've had parents that have presented, or we've done the presenting in, at times. But I think to Tricia's point, just getting a bigger audience to hear the message that we want to deliver would be the greatest thing ever.
You know, we probably can help with that.
You think?
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
You know,
I think this is a great start.
We reach parts of five states. They might not even be in Michigan. They might
that's
be
all right.
This,
and that's all good.
By the way, there's a podcast that you'll be able to on Monday. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you can hear this entire hour. And
go to the links.
Go to the links that we're going to post. Speaking of those links, why don't you give us the link to the Troy Tech Talks site right now?
Sure. It's just on the Troy School District website. So it's www.troy.k12.mi.us. Love those. And then you go to the departments and then technology, and you'll see the page for the Troy Tech Talks.
Now, you don't have to worry about keeping all that down. We will make that link available for you.
Now, Foster, something that you have brought up a lot is about volunteering for senior citizens, going to the library and stuff. We have so many people that have retired. And they're just looking for things to volunteer.
I mean,
they miss that portion of their life that they'd spend. I mean, this is a perfect
opportunity. That's a whole program.
Yep,
I agree with you entirely. It'd be wonderful to get grandmas and grandpas involved. I'm one of those that loves to be supporting the school system and any way I can as a grandpa and as a great grandpa. All right,
that's a wonderful grandpa. Is that what you said?
That was exactly it. Thank you so much for being with us on the program, and the very best to you in this new year as you continue on with all of your efforts. Thank you to Tricia Albury and to Colleen Geyer and all you've done with Troy Tech Talks. And hats off to the Troy School District as well for the way they've responded to it. It's good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us.